The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
When we decided that we were going to do the theme of worship this month, I just thought, and Pastor Dave as well, how many of you were here last week when Jordan had a chance to share his heart a little bit about worship? Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
And I think there's something so important about hearing from our worship leaders when we're talking about worship. They are the ones that are really giving themselves to leading us in that as a congregation. They're really pursuing that in their own lives. And I felt like having a discussion with them would just kind of spark some things in us, in our own personal experience with worship, but also in kind of just casting vision for what our heart is around worship here at Living Waters Church. I know that it's probably evident that it's a really important piece of what we do on a Sunday morning. We really give it space for the Lord to really minister to us through that and for us to minister to the Lord. We really have a heart here at Living Waters to host the presence of God so that when people come, they're not encountering us only. You will encounter us a little. You're not encountering our best ideas and our opinions about things, but that you're actually encountering God when you come here. You're having an interaction with Him, and you're able to both give to Him and receive from Him. And so our worship is a key piece of that. It's a key piece of that interaction. But it's really meant to propel us into the rest of the week. It's meant to really help us have that connection, that we walk from that place of connection, and we maintain that connection throughout the week. And so it's more than just what we do on Sunday morning. It's an important piece of really walking with the Lord from that place forward. So I just want to give an opportunity for us to have a discussion. We have kind of a team of leaders that kind of lead the worship here at Living Waters Church, and I have asked them if they would be really brave and let us just do a panel discussion and just share their hearts a little bit, and so I think that's going to bless all of us. So, if I could have them come on up, and we don't have assigned seating, so you'll have to figure out, you know, how you want to do that. Taking my earring out. Go ahead. Okay. Yes. That means you can wander if you want.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do a quick introduction of each one, and so you know the players, and then I'm going to let them kind of warm up with a little bit of a question about that they're going to answer about themselves. So on this end, we have Debbie Christofferson, and she is our director of worship here. She heads up, gives leadership to all of our worship team and our sound and media. And Vanessa Weigel, of course, I always use people's maiden names. Vanessa Weigel is one of our worship leaders. Dan is a drummer, but he's on our leadership team for worship because he really carries something as it relates to leading in worship and just the heart of it. And how many of you know that sometimes the drums can lead the worship?
Yeah,
so there's that. We let them do that sometimes. And then we have Jordan, who you had a chance to hear from a little bit last week if you were here. And he's also one of our worship leaders here. And so I'm going to start with you, Demi. Is that okay?
I am super nervous.
Are you?
I don't know why.
We're not nervous, right?
Yeah,
it's all good.
It's a keyboard in front of you.
Yeah, that's what she actually said when we talked about this. is it okay if I sit down and you just have a disembodied voice? Okay. She said when we first talked about this, I would rather just do worship than have to try to talk about it. But I really am blessed that she's willing to share her heart because there's some really good insight there. So it's just an easy question. You're each going to answer what kind of brought you here to Living Waters. Just kind of in, not the whole like when you were born and then, but just what brought you here to Living Waters.
Well, we were in transition spiritually. God was bringing us into the fullness of the Holy Spirit because we, all our lives had been in a church that believed those gifts were not for today. And so there was a huge paradigm shift going on in our minds and in our hearts. And whenever that happens, there's usually a lot of turmoil going on. And so we came here pretty wounded and hurt. And I'm not going to go into any of that. It was many things, not just the church. It was many things going on. And the first year we just sat in the back in that area right there and came in and left. And for a long time, nobody even knew that I did music because I felt pretty used by the church at that point. Any church I went to, I felt like sharks coming after me. And so that's what brought us here. It was really the Holy Spirit. We were just looking. And when we came here that first time, we just knew, I could feel that this is where we belong. Is that good?
That's okay. Awesome. Thank you. How about for you, Vanessa?
Well, I grew up going to a church in town, and we had always done community events together. I did worship there, and I have so many connections here, always. I've always had so many friends here, and I've always loved the culture of this church. I had a dear heart for my church, too. But when I got married to the pastor's son, which we made the strong decision that we would raise our family here. And yeah, so it was a very easy decision for us. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, my story is a little bit similar to Vanessa's. I didn't marry the pastor's son, to be clear. But I did. We did go to the same church, and this church had a lot of like tentacles out in the community of different things that were going on. Pastor Bob was doing a lot of outreach and mentoring to kind of the younger generation, and so I just had contacts here in this church, and then when we had our firstborn, Evelyn, we just decided this was the kind of environment we wanted to raise our kids in. So, yeah, we jumped in and didn't look back.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, as you know, I married the pastor's daughter.
So we have two obligatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at a church at the time that was meeting at in a different building at nights, and I was involved there a lot with worship and other stuff. So we were kind of going, when we were dating, maybe engaged, we were going here and then going to the other church, which was a lot of work. And then there was a chance, there was an opening for a part-time worship leader position over at the other church, so I was like, oh, I'll apply. I go here. Maybe this means we'll go here. I don't know. We weren't decided. I think Rachel was decided on where we were going, but I wasn't decided yet. So I applied for that and interviewed for that, and I didn't get that. And so I took that as a pretty clear sign that we were supposed to be here. And so, yeah, we've been here since then.
Awesome. Okay, another easy one, and then we're going to jump into the deep end. What was the first instrument that you learned to play?
I learned drums first. I grew up playing drums, and then I kind of was like, well, I want to learn guitar now. But drums, I played in like concert band and marching band and all that, so drums for me.
Mine was actually piano, and I didn't stick at it for very long because I didn't like it. I really like drums. So just a tip for you parents, like, if you want your kids to learn an instrument, just make sure it's something they find joy in doing, because they'll stick with it that way.
Yeah, it's good.
Recorder? like I was like in second grade. clarinet. I was a band kid. And then I picked up piano just on my own. So
okay.
Thankfully.
So you weren't playing like since you were 3 years?
No.
No. Okay.
My first instrument was the ukulele. As a little girl. A little red one. Tiny.
That is fun. Okay. How about... tell me, like, have you always been involved in worship? Is it something that you were involved with always, or when? Kind of, when did that start for you? In, I mean, I know if we went to church, we all worshipped, but in being part of leading worship.
Well, I'll start. I had an aunt that was real musical, and so I started when I was a little girl playing the ukulele, and. It was the cousins' trio. It was three little girls that we would harmonize, and that's where I started singing. And it would be like special little numbers you'd do at church.
Hmm. Can you all just picture that?
Yeah.
Is that not like the most adorable thing ever? I wanted to actually have pictures of all of them when they were really little doing something, but I didn't ask permission, so I didn't do it.
I was 8 when I got on my first worship team, and I was so shy. The amount of times they had to tell me to put the microphone to my mouth, because I was like, I didn't want anyone to hear me or see me, and I just had people who were constantly like, you have a gift, you need to be up here, and I just was so uncomfortable, and yeah, so I started there, and I started leading when I was 16, all at the same church, so.
I think I was like 15, and like it was the first church that we started going to when we moved to America. I'm originally from Australia, in case none of you knew that. But yeah, it was a church that just met in a school, so we did the whole setup thing every Sunday and tear down too. And it was just week in, week out learning and being free to make mistakes.
Huh, that's interesting.
I kind of shared last week, but I grew up playing drums, and I kind of started leading worship a little bit during youth group stuff. And then after that, just kind of, like I said, replaced and sporadically filled in at other churches if I was the normal guitar player or whatever. So,
cool. What would you say, since all of you have had experience, you know, at other churches or even in community events, what would you say is unique about worship here at Living Waters? What's something unique? Or even, you know, Dan, you spoke to, you know, this is the environment that we wanted to raise our kids in. You know, what about that was something that you, you know?
Yeah. So if there's some of you that have been here for a long time and haven't ventured out into like what's going on with other churches, and this isn't to criticize them at all, everyone has different ways of doing things, but there's a lot of churches that will take their kids and put them off into their own program right away, so you check in your kids right away and then the adults go into their worship thing. And so just the idea of like worshiping as a family at least for 45 minutes, and you know, if a kid cries or if they walk down the aisle, that's not like a big kind of thing. You know, there's a little bit of freedom for that to happen. So that was a big thing for us.
Yeah, I think the freedom of what we have here is the main unique part that separates this from other churches. And I spoke on it too last week. There's not a lot of places where you can just kind of get up to an open mic and say, this is what God is singing, or do flags and all that stuff. So freedom for me is definitely the unique part I feel about Living Waters.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on that? What is unique about worship here? And that's okay. Okay. So here, maybe as
I need to say something.
Oh, you have one? Okay.
What's unique here is following the Holy Spirit in a real tangible way. I mean, everybody says we're going to follow the Holy Spirit, but this church pressed me into doing it. I mean, they threw me in the deep end and did it. And you know, most churches, the team will know we'll do this chorus and then this verse, chorus 2 times, and we're done. and everybody knows exactly where you're going, where the key change is, and this worship is not like that. Sometimes as a worship leader, it's like, I have no idea where you're going right now, God, or what we're doing, and it's a ride. So that is very different.
Hmm. I have one more thing to add.
Yeah.
So I think I've been here 10 years now, and I don't think I've ever seen or witnessed like any kind of tension about volume or styles or anything like that. Maybe it happens and I'm just not aware of it on some other level, but like that's a big deal, because every other church I've been at, somehow like those kind of worship wars, that's kind of the term we use, mm-hmm. when we like fight about our preferences, that can be a dividing thing in a church, and I've never witnessed that here.
Mm-hmm. It's really a testimony to our body as well, that's just willing to go, we'll go there together. And so that's really a testimony to you all. Okay, so everybody wants to know, how do you put your song list together? Because I think it's different for all of you a little bit.
Yeah, I can start. There's some weeks where I look at the schedule and I'll be like, oh, I'll do these three songs that week. You know, it might be a couple weeks out. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter if they're going to do the exact same songs the week before. I just kind of go with, it's the Holy Spirit prompting me. I feel it's more like a gut feeling, but it's definitely the Holy Spirit saying, do these. And so I'm pretty, honestly, if the first three, four songs come to mind, I'm like, that's it. All right, we're good.
And you know that like 2 weeks out sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, usually, like, I know a couple songs we'll do next week, but yeah, so.
You don't fast and pray?
I mean, yes, the fasting and the praying is constant.
That's
sorry.
Obvious.
Didn't I say that?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So he knows kind of 2 weeks out. How does that go for you, Vanessa? Hi, Daddy.
I picked a song this morning, so. It's very different for me. It fluctuates all the time, but the Lord is always so faithful to bring forth the songs. It's just a journey of trust for me. It's like, okay, I'm out on a limb. Like, Lord, lead me. It's been a journey for me in trusting the Lord. And my teams have been so amazing with just hopping on board when they don't even know the song we're going to do. So it's been different. But it's been really fun. So we're very different.
How about for you, Demi?
I have like three different three-ring binders at home. And the big thick one is the one that we're presently doing. And then I have one where they're really good ones, but they're from, you know, maybe 15, 10 years ago. And then I have one that's really old that goes way back. And I always start with the big one, and I just say, Holy Spirit, come. I invite the Holy Spirit to come, and I just go through, look at, no, no, no. And then if a song kind of goes, oh, something like, oh, I kind of, it's just a gut feeling, I'll just pull that one out of the, pull it up. And usually I'll get about six at that point. And then I just let that sit, and then maybe a couple days later, I'll sit at the keyboard and just sing those through. And then the ones that really I can feel something moving in me, then those are the ones that I do.
Hmm. And Dan's the drummer, so he just does whatever they tell him to do, pretty much. So, how many of you have come into worship on a Sunday morning and it's like, that was the song I needed today? And how many of you appreciate the time that, at least those, no, the time that they take to hear from the Lord? Actually, Jordan just hears very accurately, very quickly. So that they press into the Lord on our behalf. And so that we're walking into something that the Holy Spirit's actually prepared for us, not just their opinion. That's a blessing to me. Okay. So in your own personal journey with worship or your own personal life, what would you say are things that can sometimes hinder you in really being able to... Well, let me ask you this. Do you always feel like worshiping? I don't even know if you need to... Or in general, yeah. Does it always feel like you know, because they're worship leaders. Don't you just think they always feel like worshiping? No. So what are some of the things that sometimes hinder you in your worship that can sometimes make that hard to step into, or that can hinder you in really going, you know, either when you're leading or personally just at home?
I think for me, I can just be in my head a lot and just be thinking about other stuff, family stuff, work stuff, whatever, but just not giving that to God and letting him, work in that. And so I think I can just kind of look ahead and be like, oh, we got to do this, blah, blah, blah. And just my mind maybe just taking over, not leading by my spirit, is something I feel like can hinder me.
Any other thoughts?
I think shame can be a huge hindrance when the week's been hard, when I had a hard mom moment, just feeling like, oh, I don't even deserve to be up here or to be leading others in worship when my heart's not there myself. And I mean, just the grace that's there and stepping over that shame line and just saying, I can live free and unashamed. But shame can keep my spirit low. It can keep me from really focusing on God. It keeps me focusing on myself more.
I don't think anything in my life has been more attacked than this gift in me, to be honest. And when I was in a place where the spirit realm was not, I mean, it's not like they denied it, but again, it was all theory. So when you're in that environment, in a more religious environment that doesn't really understand the spirit realm in that real pragmatic way, my gift was really attacked. And in physical ways, I got carpal tunnel so hard I couldn't clap, I couldn't play the keyboard anymore. I couldn't hold a mic anymore because my hands were so weak. And I think my vocal cords were attacked, and this is common. It hasn't been for a while, but one time, I don't think you were a worship leader yet, Jordan. I think John and Ashley, you and me, were worship leaders. And we all were talking out in the lobby and realized that our voices were being like we couldn't sing. They were tightening up. And we realized we were all going through this. And so there's attack on our gift. What's the question I'm asking? I don't want to get off.
You're answering it. It's what kinds of things hinder or stifle worship for you? And you're just talking about.
Yeah, so it was all shut down. Mm-hmm. And then when I started coming into the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord miraculously healed me of carpal tunnel. And we had heard about something and we were going to go to bed, and John goes, well, should we try it? And so he prayed for a spirit of fear to lift off me. It wasn't a physical healing. We were asking for fear to lift off me. And I rolled over completely thinking it was done, and I started feeling a heat. And I did not know that people got heat when you get healing. So nobody, okay, we are innocent. And I started feeling heat right up my neck. It felt so good because I could just feel like something was totally loosening. And I go, John, something's happening. Because we didn't expect something to happen. You guys all expect something. This culture expects. And all of a sudden I could start moving my head. And I had to walk into my healing and hold on to it. But I can play for 2 hours now. I can clap. I mean, God has totally healed me of that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So those have been my hindrances, and they were big. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage you with whatever gift you have.
Yeah,
John and I do prayer ministry, and we have found the core to people's issues in their lives are always attached to what their spiritual call and anointing is. We can almost figure out immediately what that person's gift is by how they've been attacked. So,
makes me mad. But this culture here, we understand that, and that's why it's a place of healing.
Right, and how to get free of that, how to be able to overcome that. So what are some things that ignite worship in you, or that you can kind of, how you cultivate that, or things that just really bring you to a place of entering into that in a powerful way?
For me, on Sunday morning, I shared when we were kind of figuring out what we wanted to talk about. When I see people walk in who are our family here, and I know some of the struggles that they're walking through, I mean, my heart is just like, wow, they're here to worship after a long week in the hospital or after losing a spouse. And it just makes my heart want to worship even more, seeing them. And it's just something that I feel like we're all in together. And it just is so encouraging. We're family here and in this together. So that really gets my heart, like, going.
So. For me, it's beholding beauty, or like just looking at God's creation, because that reflects his glory. And people who know me best know that I'm not a big outdoors person, so I don't go like hiking and all that stuff, but I do like, if I'm just going for a walk just in my yard, not
big hiking. Or through the window.
Or just even like watching a thunderstorm through the window. Like, there's something about that that just enlarges my view of who God is, helps me zoom out a little bit and get my focus off my own life. Or like looking up at the stars too. Like, it doesn't have to be for long, but some nights I'll get home, I'll pull in the driveway, and just look up for a couple of, 30 seconds and just, like, take it all in. And then just cultivating a lifestyle of doing those little things is what helps me have a bigger view of who God is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really think worship is taking time to remember who he is and taking time to notice him. Did you guys have any other thoughts on that?
Yeah. It's changed for me in my life from when I was younger to what it is now. But I think right now in my life, two things, taking time to remember what God has done always stirs that spirit of thankfulness, praise, and worship.
Yeah.
Is taking time to remember. And then the second thing is always walking in new encounters with God. And not living on old manna, not living on the song that really ministered last year to me, but always seeking that, those new encounters with God are so important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa, you brought up just kind of how just being in family and being community spurs worship in you. And one of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit is, we talked a little about the difference between real intimate worship and personal worship, but also that there's something about corporate worship. And so what do you think the value of the corporate worship experience is? Because obviously now we could all just stay home and play YouTube or, whatever, Bethel Music or whatever. But what is the value of really coming together in corporate worship? How do you see that strengthening us as a body? And
yeah, I think for me, the number one thing is we're not alone. Like, you can feel in your own battle all week, and you just feel like isolated, and not all the time, but me, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm surrounded by my kids all the time, and I'm like, is anyone else here in this, like, season of life where you just, it's so beautiful, but it can get lonely. And you come here on Sunday, and it's like, oh, yeah, family. And it just, God created family, and he created this, and this idea of coming together. They didn't have this way back where you could just have your own sermon and mm-hmm. your own whatever, even Bibles, like, they all kind of shared together in community. And I think it's so important to tangibly be together here and worship kind of back and forth with one another. So, and it's not just the music, it's the ministry, it's the conversations, the hugs, it's everything all in one. That's just worship. You can share about your... Or Debbie was talking about when her kids all get together. I just thought that was so sweet.
Well, yeah, we were talking about this. There's two things I want to say. The first is the joy as parents when your adult kids get together and get along and have fun together. That's how the father feels when we come together.
Good.
And get along and worship. The second reason, the second thing I want to say is John and I was watching a movie, and I think it was World War II, where, and in the movie, the enemy during the night was verbally making sound. I can't remember what the sound was. And was that the Vietnam War? Do you remember what movie I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So they were harassing...
Maybe it was the Japanese. I don't know.
They were harassing them
with
sounds.
It was intimidating is what I'm saying. And so our troops are waiting for them to... When are they going to attack? And they're just making sound, loud sound, and trying to intimidate... And to me, when we get together, yes, we are, you know, having this cozy experience, but really what we're doing and is we're intimidating the enemy. When we do this together and we make sound together, whether, you know, it's clapping, and there's something about music, isn't it? You know, who was the first person that sang? Who just started, sustained a tone and started singing? It's just kind of a fascinating thing. And then why did we get keys and melodies, and how it evolved is another whole subject. But there's power in it. And not only are we touching, we are entering into a spiritual realm that builds us up. And we sometimes as warriors, we come here and we're wore out, right? We've had a hard week. The enemy's been, you know, talking to us lies or whatever. And when you come here, you can come with others that maybe didn't have as hard of a week, and you can come into that atmosphere and be strengthened spiritually.
That's good.
Yeah, I think just the idea of community coming together to worship, you know, it's biblical. In Acts, when the church started meeting together, when the Holy Spirit came, they just came and, you know, bore each other's burdens and had community together. And then too, with the Levites setting up the tabernacle way in the Old Testament to bring their offerings to God. You know, they, when they were wandering around in the desert for 40 years, they were like, we need to show God thankfulness for, you know, what he's given us, the manna and the cloud to follow. And so I think just the idea that we see examples of people coming together in the Bible and meeting for that community is really powerful for me to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been something God's been challenging me on too, because I'm kind of more of an introvert, so I like the idea of just me and God and like excluding everyone else out. But I remember coming across this quote by a theologian called Gordon Fee, and it said something to the effect of the corporate worship gathering should be for the edification of everyone and probably not for having 1,000 individual experiences of worship. So, because we can all kind of have that at home. And it's not that God won't minister to us individually. He does, and I think we all experience that. But if our mindset is that going into it, I mean, why can't we just do that at home? Mm-hmm. In fact, I could probably do it better at home if I just want to be intimate with God. I can be way more transparent and raw and honest if you guys aren't around. And if I'm going to do that here, I kind of have to block you out. And I feel like that defeats the purpose of gathering together in the first place. So it's kind of a transformation and a shift in my mind. And, you know, there's always a place where God will do intimate things in our corporate gathering, but I'm asking the question now and trying to teach my kids what does it mean to worship as the family, you know, us as the children gathered in the Father's living room. And then when we have that in mind, then it doesn't matter that, you know, I don't like someone's or someone's kids are being too loud, or like, I don't like the shirt Jordan's wearing, or I don't like the song we're singing, because it's less about my individual preferences.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Oh, I was so interested in listening, I didn't think about what I was going to ask next. Oh, I know. So in your experience, what do you feel like has changed about corporate worship, even for those of you that are, you know, you have 10 years or more of experience, or even more than that with Debbie, but what do you feel like has changed? And to know that it's changed isn't good or bad. It's not like it was bad before, but what has changed? What have you seen?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this question since we met, and I think it was the Jesus movement in the 60s and 70s that really started shifting worship in the church. Before that, you know, we have the hymn book that we had for hundreds and hundreds of years, you guys, that really was birthed out of the Reformation. Many of them came after the Reformation, that first great move of God with Martin Luther, and all these hymns started coming, and the church worldwide still knows many of those hymns. Mm-hmm. And then in the 60s, the Jesus movement, that's when the Holy Spirit started really getting woke up again. And many, many of the ministries that we walk in right now were birthed out of people that got saved in the 60s and 70s. And many of the praise courses started their origin at that time. And so now it's totally transitioned, where the organ is no longer in, you know, unless it's a Catholic or a really large liturgical church, organs don't even exist anymore. And technology has really shifted worship too. Yeah. So I don't think it's better or worse. Those hymns were amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So culture really affects worship in the church, because we are the ones creating the worship, and so as we change, the sound of worship changes.
Yeah, I think even in the last 5 years, there's kind of been this explosion of worship music that's available, and some of you might not be aware of it, like if you're not a musician, or even if you might not be a musician, but like if you're not online or if you don't have streaming music, like I can literally pull out my phone and listen to 60 million songs, and there's a growing like worship category too, where you know, growing up there was just like a handful of songs that we used to sing, and we might spend years singing them, and now mm-hmm. it's like there's so much stuff out there. Like I have a playlist on my computer where I add new music to, and I can't even keep up with it. And that's not good or bad, like Debbie was saying. It's just good to be aware of that. We should be careful that we're not becoming consumers of worship music.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you want to pick out some ketchup, or for me it's like olive oil, like I'll go and I'll look and there's like so many choices, and it's like, man, I just need this for cooking, but like the packaging and the labeling just looks so attractive. I'm like, what do I choose? And I'm spending like 10 minutes trying to pick out my olive oil. And it's just,
right.
You know what I mean? It can
yes.
be just a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so just to be aware of that we're not being shaped by this abundance of choice. On the one hand, it's like really good. Like as a creative person, I love it, because I think we're finally tapping into expressing some different facets of God with some different styles of music and some more poetic imagery. And then I look back and I think, man, what we had even 30 years ago, so when I was like 4 or 5, just underneath one of the chairs in a church meeting or whatever, even if I wasn't singing them, I can remember some of those songs, some of those praise choruses that you're talking about, like there's something about that name, or whatever the song is, like those songs sung over and over again because they were so simple, had a profound impact in shaping who I am, and they're with me to this day. So I hope that for this generation coming up that we're leaving with something that will be imprinted on their hearts too, mm-hmm. and not just a smorgasbord of songs that mm-hmm. they just go through.
That's good.
I think creativity is coming alive in the church because religion is being broke off. It always irritated me why the world had all the creative people. They were creating the best music, the best art, the best everything. And now I'm realizing it's because religion makes everybody have to look and sound and be the same. And I can remember when I was young, I knew exactly what musicians I wanted to sound like, and I would mimic their sound and sing like them. And that is, you know, God has given each of us a unique voice. And when religion breaks off and lets us sing and be who God created us to be and celebrate one another in our differences, then the creativity explodes. So part of all of the songwriting, I think, is because the religious spirit is losing its hold on the church, the big church, not just here, all over. And people are starting to be free to express themselves creatively.
Mm-hmm. So as worship leaders here and just as worshipers, where do you see, or let me ask it two different ways because you can answer two different ways. Where do you dream about going in corporate worship? Where, what are things that you would just love to see happen, or things that you've thought, you know, if we could just go there? Or where do you see Holy Spirit taking us as a body? What do you see him doing in kind of in this season? And I'm thinking this may be our last question. So take a, you know, if you need a second to think about it, it's kind of a big question. But it's just kind of what are the dreams in your heart for corporate worship, or what do you see Holy Spirit doing?
I think for me, one of the things I kind of dream of is kind of the idea of worship in heaven, where it's, you know, every nation, it's every age, you know, it's everybody, and just seeing that lived out here, where, you know, it's the kids from 1-year-old, 2-year-old who are coloring are entering in, and up onto the youth group that are really entering in, and even some of the older ones I'm getting there that are still able to enter in. You know, there's no preference, you know. There's not a generation saying, well, this doesn't sound like it should. And there's not a younger generation saying, well, this is too old. And there's no division in any of that. There's no boundaries of age. You know, there's just not any hindrances to being able to enter in if you're, you know, in the womb, or if you're 85 years old. You know, just be able to see that, I think, would be awesome. Just the idea of how beautiful the worship in heaven will be, and just we can get a glimpse of that here. We really can, just by being able to say, you know, God, take us where you want to go. Just lead us in worship. Use your spirit to lead us. So
it's good.
Well, if I could dream, there's a lot of things, but. I grew up in like a charismatic environment, so when I dream, I tend to look outside of that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So personally, I've been looking at and learning from some of the more liturgical environments, and then just reimagining what some of their practices could look like in a spirit-led context. So you know, some things they do are like, They might say the creeds, or mm-hmm. have like times of corporate confession, and like I imagine, like what would a corporate worship song of confession and repentance look like? Like, I can't really think of a song that does that right now, and maybe that's because it's just awkward and it's easier to just sing "I love you, God" or whatever. But like to really go to that place where we're singing corporately, God, forgive us, we haven't loved you with our whole hearts, and stuff like that. And then what does that unlock the moment we sing that as mm-hmm. a body? And how does that free the Holy Spirit to move? So different things like that.
Well, I just want to say this. I don't know if it's related to even the question, but I just want to thank all of you, because if you've ever tried to lead worship where people are dry and dead, there is nothing more discouraging as a worship leader than that. And I will tell you, I have never, ever once been discouraged by you guys. In fact, when I've come and I don't have nothing to give, you guys build us up and come with such an... Even though you come late, we all talk about... The first song starts and like we look out and we go, wow, does anyone even want to come? Or where are they? And then the end of the first song and it's like, whoa, where'd they all show, right? We always talk about it. But once you get here, no, you always are here to worship the Lord. Yeah. And you are so ready to just come along. And my, I don't know, you know, for sure what's in my belly is I want the walls between heaven and earth to just be gone. So come that, on. You know, when we're worshiping, the angels and the Father and the Son are right here with us. And there's no division. And then my second heart's desire is the division between this crazy stage and out there will become less and less. And I've always felt that. And I've called it the microphones of heaven. And I always, and sometimes I look out and I can know, and I don't know how I know it, but I do know. And it's like they have a microphone of heaven this morning because mm-hmm. the heavens are hearing their voice. And that, you know, just to get that reality so rich and full, just think where we could go in worship. It would just be amazing. Yeah. And we're getting there, you guys. So
yeah,
thank you. Because we can't, this team cannot go alone. We need you guys. We're in it together.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I feel that too, where people can walk in and just know the presence of the Lord is here. And I know it happens. It already happens. But someone who's never experienced it can just feel just welcomed into something bigger. And where healings are happening left and right. And there's just nothing that can't happen. Like, everything is possible. And that people who are lonely come in, they just feel the love of God just transform their lives. Just miracles. And it's happening already. But that gives life more. Yeah.
Awesome.
Was that good stuff or what?
Yeah.
I think I'm ready to wrap up. Does anybody have something burning that they just feel like they have to share? Because I don't want to close.
I have one more thing.
Okay, good.
Just remember that worship always begins in the spirit realm before it ever becomes musical. Worship always is a spiritual event going on before it becomes a tangible, physical, whether it's instruments, singing, whatever. And so that's why, you know, worship is day in, day out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't turn worship on and off. And that's if we good. Think that way, we will never get to where God wants us to get. So just erase that idea that you turn worship on and then we're done and it turns off. So
can you share some other ways that we worship besides singing and music? And, you know, we talked a little bit about just that there's other ways we worship. So, like, as a worship leader, can you permission people to worship in other ways and what that looks like?
Yeah. Well, I have a husband who does it totally opposite than me, and it isn't music with him, but I can see worship just coming on him when he's coming alongside somebody and building them up, helping them with their car or whatever it might be. So we worship God when we walk in the identity of what he has placed
on us at our moment of conception. And, you know, mine just happens to be this. And I think this has gotten elevated way too high. And people kind of feel lost then. How do I worship God? Or I wish I could be on a worship team, you know, or whatever it is.
Good.
And so does that kind of answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just recognizing and hearing it from our worship leaders that there's other ways that we worship throughout the week. And there's other ways that we worship in how we give to the Lord isn't just in song. There's something powerful about the corporate worship experience, which we talked about, where we're all focusing on who he is, and we're focusing on specific attributes of who he is, but there's something powerful about the way you walk out worship when it's not a song. Did you have something, Luke? Okay, I'm going to, just right before that, can we just, would you mind just stretching your hands towards them? Because
yes.
I just want to proclaim a blessing, the congregation over you as worship leaders, and we just say we're with you, that we will go with you into the things that the Holy Spirit is leading us into together, and we just bless you to step into creativity. We bless you to step into the deeper places of really exploring who God is and being able to bring that out in worship. And we bless you to see it come to pass more and more that there will be healing, there will be deliverance that happens in the middle of our worship together. But we just say that we're with you. And Lord, we just thank you for these that have been faithful to lead us into worship, that have been faithful to live lives of worship. We just pray that you would bless them in that. We pray protection over that gift. And we just pray freedom to step into the fullness of what you want to have them leading us into. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.